Okay, I am the next speaker, and then we'll have a break. And since I'm the only student, I gave myself 10 minutes, just like all the other students, so I'll be brief. So I just kind of want to go over a little bit today where I am. I don't usually sound like this, so I apologize. If you can't hear me, please let me know. Where I am kind of in my thesis and how much more work I have to do. So Soulier described Stenomorpha in 1836, and I have yet to see any of the type specimens. And Mike Ivey, when he went to Paris and got all those great things for Ian, you know, asked around, and the old curator, Claude Girard, was there, and he said, oh yes, I know where those three types are. And for 3 days they looked, and they still could not find them. So I have not seen them, and I would absolutely love to see them. But these are the three species originally described under Stenomorpha, and Subpilosa has since then been moved into Trichiacida. Some of the things that, if you are an avid collector in Arizona, that you might be familiar with, some Stenomorpha species described by Casey, and we usually think Casey is not a very good taxonomist, I guess you would say. But, you know, he, in doing all this and looking at all of these, there are a few valid species that he did describe. And Rugata, Rutus, and Sponsor all occur in different areas. They're flightless. The adults emerge after the monsoons in August and September, and they lay their eggs in the soil. They're all at about 4,400 feet in elevation, so they're all mountain species. And, you know, there's still a lot of, and I'll get back to those other three species later, but there's a lot of little Stenomorpha specimens that are still being worked on that are unidentified, or they are just lumped into Stenomorpha, and it's my job to figure them out. And Aaron Smith from Michigan is also working on one of these being figured out. I do a lot of other things, and I'm a very big person on education and educating people. And a lot of the, I don't have a grant that's going to give me $60,000 for automontage. So I've jerry-rigged a microscope with a digital camera, and Eric Fisher from CDFA taught me how to make this in my garage, this little reflected light dome, so I can get some good light. It's a great tool, and it's on the CDF website. I recommend it. It's reflected light is the best way to take pictures. And I use Helicon Focus, which I think a lot of the scarab workers, they had it in one of their newsletters. It's great. And I do a lot of undergraduate training, and I have 4 undergrad students now. And Andrew is developing species pages for our type specimens using this system and using an Australian fact sheet fusion program for species pages. One good valid species so far, McKittrickii, looking at mouth parts and female genitalia. I think our talks today are all about male genitalia, and I'm a little upset about that, but looking at female genitalia and making you know, characters are very, very good on the female genitalia, not necessarily male genitalia. When I use Camera Lucida, I am incredibly shaky, probably because I have way too much coffee. And so my drawings are probably, you know, going to take hours to redo. And I, you know, I don't know if anybody saw a taxonomic talk last year by Eli Sarnat using Adobe Illustrator to do line drawings and how to do this. And actually, there are several other, I guess, orders of groups of people, right? The Trichoptera and the Diptera people also use Adobe Illustrator, and it's an incredible tool, and it's very, very quick and very, very clear images. And one thing I guess I would like to see out of the Coleoptera Society is maybe some workshops throughout the year leading us to some common goal of everybody working together and doing something similar and teaching other people different techniques throughout the society. Just an idea that I want to throw out there. Throughout the Southern California, down on the Transverse Range and Southern Sierras, Lecontella is in Jameson here, and Lecontai is in Carrizo Plain here. And a lot of, they have a lot of similar characters, and it's just a very clinal range that we're looking at. They both occur in vernal pools. This is a female ovipositing in a vernal pool, and this is a female ovipositing and eating pygmy weed in a vernal pool. and they're not on the vernal pool listing. Captiosa is an interesting species. This is spurcans described by Casey, and it occurs everywhere, and so it's kind of a very odd thing. And then Crisonii occurs down in San Diego area, Southern California, along the Mexican border, and it's very, very similar to a Baja genus Pycnomorpha, and I think that that may end up being sloughed in there. But what I really would like to do is look at the types. This is a specimen I got from the Smithsonian, and it's lacking antennae and tarsi, so it's a little bit difficult to make comparisons on some of them. And I still need to go to Harvard and look. The types are available online, but they're not anything that diagnostically that I can look at and do anything with. And so, So what I have been doing with the types, Warren came out and visited last spring and brought me all the Casey types, and I've been working through those. And I've been trying to do these fact sheet fusion pages, putting, I can put line drawings, and it's a database, basically. It's very easy to use. It creates the web pages for you. It's not that expensive, and it's a really good tool. So if you're thinking about, you know, getting your specimens online and you want a really quick, fast way to do it, this might be a good way to do it. And, you know, ultimately my goal is to have a really nice key and really nice images and something that you can just go on the web and say, I've got this big black beetle that kind of looks like Eleodes, what is it? And be able to take you through something, right, that, you know, will allow you to identify it accurately without having to dissect it. Moving on to the Mexican species, I finally found the Wilkie types, and they are in Berlin in the Humboldt University Natural History Museum. So if anybody is looking for Wilkie, Siegfried Wilkie types, they are there. And if you are going to Mexico and are collecting, I would like to know, just because I would like to get some fresh specimens for molecular work. And then there's just more Casey issues that we're dealing with, where we have very vague data for type specimens described by LeConte, and then you have a gradation of Casey species that occur in just like a clinal range. So it's something that I'm still working on and hopefully will be done soon. And then we have issues with types. So this is the Marginata type from the MCZ, and it's a little hard to tell, you know, about the tarsi on that one. But I have gone out and collected in Arizona quite extensively, and I have sequenced these guys. I do need some fresh specimens to be able to sequence this to look at relationships. And one thing that I have been, that has been beaten over my head time and time again by people that I work with, is that one DNA strand and one specimen do not make a species. And so what I am trying to do is do multiple series in a particular area and compare them. And then I had started out with 5 genes originally, and working through them, they just, EF1 alpha is not, there's too many copies and it's just not working. So I've talked to a couple people, and this is a new paper which outlines different gene sequences that are used for phylogenetics in beetles, and there's about 5 of them that they outline as pretty diagnostic. So I'm probably going to add this one this year. I use a program called Genius. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's very inexpensive. It's an easy program to work. It's user-friendly, and it has Bayesian analysis on it. If you get the pro version, it does contigs, and it's everything in one instead of having to use multiple programs. So I don't get any money for this, but I think if there's an easier way to do something, we should all share that information. And then there's a bunch of other acidines that I have to know about besides the 90 or so Stenomorpha that I need to know. And Aaron Smith has been very gracious in, you know, educating me and teaching me the differences in the different genera within the acidine. So I'm very appreciative to Aaron. And then, you know, part of my thing about doing this is, you know, I really, this is a picture last year from ESA, and there's Ainsley and Mike and me and Lois. And Lois, okay, she doesn't work on beetles, but her husband does, right?
but she still knows a lot. And we went up with Pat Bouchard and Aaron and I and Rolf to see Kirby, and Kirby's here. And there's this tremendous amount of information. And I believe that we have this responsibility to teach and pass things down. And I've been fortunate enough, to have people who were willing to give things up and to teach me, and I think that's great. So it's made my job a little easier. And then once we all get out, we need a job. And so, being able to work is really important, and there's not that many taxonomic positions available. So once we do this, we need to keep us employed, I think. And so to that end, I've been taking on multiple teaching positions, and I could teach about any biology class that you put me in right now, which kind of slows me down when I'm trying to look at genitalia. But I am very excited about teaching students, and of course I have to make them know all the beetles. I don't care if I'm teaching insect physiology or zoology, they know their insect orders. And I've been very busy, for those of you who know me. I got married this year, and so my goal was to finish in June, but I am probably gonna move that to December. I didn't just whip these kids out, they're from before. And when I tell people that I have a 15-year-old daughter, they go, "What? Oh my God." And I say, "Oh, that's so nice, thank you." But even in my wedding dress along the beach, I'm picking up beetles, and I'm very passionate about, tenebs and what I'm doing. So, and I do force my children to collect with me. And my husband works on mayflies. He graduated from Purdue, and he definitely likes the riparian habitats. When I take them out to the desert and it's 120 degrees, I always get a little complaining. But anyway, so what I'm doing is creating primers for Stenomorpha. And this winter, I should be able to finish that, looking at the remaining types. So if I can get to Paris, I will try. If you are going to Paris and you want some money, I'll pay for a part of your stay if you want to look for Stenomorpha. But I should be able to go to Harvard and get the types from the British Museum, and then Paris will be the last one I need to do. Describe some new species this summer, and just ongoing are doing the line drawings and looking at characters and doing the analysis, and I'm hoping to finish this next fall because I'm stopping teaching. And so I just want to acknowledge these people, and I'm very thankful to everyone on this list, and there's a lot more people I couldn't fit in here, but I want to thank you for coming, and I do apologize that they put this on the last day in the afternoon, and whoever is the president of our section, I hope that maybe we can persuade them next time to move it a little earlier, possibly. And that's all. Thank you. You have any questions? Yes.
Fran, I just have a comment. Actually, Casey wasn't too bad as a descriptive taxonomist. The problem is he didn't have a species concept.
Right.
The second thing is his microscope was too powerful.
Yes.
Yes. The bigger the beetle, the worse it is. Yes. More synonyms. Yeah. But Don Chandler tells me in the stalactites that are so small, he couldn't see the variation. So the species concept is a little bit better.
Right. And, and I find that, it's not that he was a bad taxonomist, it's that when you read his descriptions, and when he says, we're going to move this into Trichiacida, he doesn't actually do it. He just, it's in a line, and he doesn't, from any publication forward in his memoirs, there's nothing there that says, okay, this is now, I've put this under here. So the amount of paperwork that I have, if you come into the museum and you see all my, because I multitask, and as I'm looking at specimens, I get all the literature together and write all of the stuff down at the same time. And, it's like just to try to find all the stuff where Casey, went back and did things. If you work with the Casey species, it's just really, it's really tedious. And the rugosity on some of the elytra, that's great descriptions, but, it's just he saw too much, so. Any other questions? All right, thank you. We're going to take a break, and I think we are...